Hey, this is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you're tuning into our super summer programming. I'm Hallelujah.
And I'm Stella, and together we'll be highlighting the queer community, environmental issues, and upcoming local events.
Stay tuned for interviews, discussion, and music from our collections.
Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen territories of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples, the lands that they have cared for since time immemorial. Today we are here with Quinn and Artem from SFSS out on campus. Welcome. Could you all tell the listeners a little bit about you before we get into the interview?
Sure. I can go first and I'll pass it to Artem. Like you mentioned, my name's Quinn. I just finished my first year of my master's in psychology at SFU, but I did my undergrad there as well in neuroscience. I've been involved in the Out on Campus as a collective member since I think about 1 or 2 years ago in that range. But I've used the services from Out on Campus and the staff support and the lounge itself for my entire undergrad, basically. So 5 or so years, I think.
And hi, my name's Artem. They, them pronouns, currently going into fourth year undergrad as a psych major. I've recently joined the Out on Campus Collective, as a general member, but when I've been using, Out on Campus, the lounge ever since, I started going to SFU.
Nice. I'm also a psychology major, so hey. If y'all could just tell us a bit about what does Out on Campus do, that'd be great.
Sure, yeah. Out on Campus is pretty much the queer student center for, in very, very simple terms, for SFU. It falls kind of within the SFSS, so the Undergrad Student Society. It has staff that are involved with it. It has a lot. I think it's been around for a very long time at SFU. There's quite a bit of history there. It and the Women's Center have been around for a long time. The main goal is to both kind of represent 2S LGBTQ plus students in terms of our voices to the SFSS, to the university itself, and also then to provide a lot of resources for students at SFU. So that includes the lounge, which is a space in the student union building, designed to be a safe space for all students, but with particular focus on queer and trans students. So that's a really nice space to be in, hold events, community things, lots of resources in terms of safer sex, navigating trans healthcare. That's, I think, all I'm going to say right now. Artem, I'm sure you can add to that.
Besides, we have quiet study room, coffee machines, a fridge with food, if it's obviously not labeled to anyone. What else? There's also resources, like Quinn said earlier. We also have a library. The system's a bit different, but I'm sure we'll get there when we get there. There's also, the Affirming Garments program, right? And then craft supplies. And I think there's also events we host as the collective and volunteers. I think off the top of my head, that's most of the events we have, or just things we offer.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into some of those things a bit later in the interview.
Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the roles and responsibilities that you guys take on as people that participate in, out on campus?
Okay, wait. I can answer. It's a little... So basically, Quinn and I are both collective members, which is a little different than from just a volunteer. So we're if I can remember correctly, Quinn, we're in constituent group, right? The collective constituent group.
Yeah, it's a constituency group. So kind of similar to DNA, so the Disability Neurodiversity Alliance. I believe SOCA is also a constituency group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, so go ahead, Erin. And then we also have volunteers, which every like beginning of the semester, there's always calls, so you can, you know, help clean the lounge, host events, that type of stuff. And we'll be working with the out on campus assistant. Just ways to get involved.
Yeah, and then as collective members, so the volunteer program, actually, I'll start on, with that first. Volunteer program is kind of separate. It's pretty low stakes. Pretty much they send out a call usually at the beginning of the term looking for new volunteers. There's kind of some online training volunteers do in terms of just understanding the kind of goals and aims of out on campus, safety things. So they do a bit of online training. And then the biggest role for the volunteers, honestly, is helping support staff for running events that are headed by staff, which is currently just the out on campus assistant con. So they'll help with events usually for the most part. They're also welcome to join the meetings of the collective members, because we do rely on their help quite a bit as well. The collective members are like an elected position for the most part. It's a non-hierarchical group, so people kind of have roles, but there's no hierarchy within that, so everyone has like the same voting power, and responsibilities are pretty shared amongst us. Other than that, the out on campus collective functions pretty similarly to like any other department, student union, or other, especially similar to other constituency groups. So we have a council rep, so they'll attend SFSS meetings and keep us in the loop on that. Our other jobs are to work with the SFSS on events and things, hold our own events. Recently, we've been tabling a lot of Pride events all around the Lower Mainland. What else do we do? Yeah, our big yearly event that we organize and hold is like a queer prom. So we've done two of those so far. So that's kind of usually where a lot of our like planning and stuff goes to. But that's the big roles. The collective is... it kind of died a couple years back, so it literally like lost all of its members, and it was restarted I think 2 years ago, so we've kind of been building up since then. But yeah, as of now, we are working on like really getting organized, getting our constitutional in order, and being able to be more present within the SFSS and SFU.
Cool, nice. Yeah, I didn't know that y'all did the queer prom. When is that usually?
That's usually like end of the semester for the spring. So last year it was like what, late March, early April, if I remember correctly. Oh, wait, no. Was it? Yeah, okay.
Yes, it was. I forget what the year prior, but it's around like late March.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it was late April, but it's like, no, it's right before exam season, usually.
Yeah, it's usually around then, kind of pre-exam season. We have done it the last couple of years in the sub ballroom, which is, I think, a good spot. And I think one of the things we really pride ourselves in on that event is that it is very, like, low barrier, low cost for students. So the first year, it was, like, an entirely free event. This year, we did make it entirely free, but there was a donation for entry. So as small or big of a donation as you wanted, to Rainbow Railroad, I believe. So we raised money for them and put all the entry fees towards that. And then students got a meal and activities and socializing and all that on the night of.
Nice. Yeah, it definitely seems like a cool event to check out. And yeah, I know you mentioned a little bit about the 2S LGBTQ plus library, but I was wondering a bit more about like, how do you curate the collection? How do students access it? What is this structure you speak of?
Okay, so like to the Rotunda Library, there is like a catalog online. If you want us to send the link, we could give that to you.
Yeah, I think the issue with it right now is it's being revamped. Yes. Because the old library system was hosted in the States, and they're moving away from that. So right now it's kind of in a bit of limbo. But the best way to access the library is just to go into the lounge and ask the staff member about signing up books. As the collective is pretty new and a lot of the books have been there for quite a long time, we haven't had like a ton of like... input and like activity in terms of the curation, but yeah, the library is It's not massive, but it does take up most of like the kind of sidewall in the lounge. It's got a bunch of different books, so like fiction, graphic novels, more like educational books, children's books. It's got a whole variety, and people are always welcome to suggest new books to add to it. To again, the staff member is mostly the one who runs that collection. Yeah, I've signed out books from there. It was pretty easy. But I'm not sure. It's kind of in a bit of limbo with the system right now. Same with the Women's Center library as well, just because the online system is changing.
And also, I think included in our library as well are DVDs, also STEM toys as well. You can check those out. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. There are a bunch of like movies as well included in the library. And yeah, there's also like STEM toys that we have that you can like sign up for a little while. And board games, actually.
Do y'all have any favorite items from the library that you've gotten to check out?
I like the board games. They're very fun.
Trying to think if I've it's been a minute since I've checked out some of the stuff. The Women's Center also has some like books that are like queer and trans relevant. I think have I well they have like all of the Heartstopper books. The graphic novels are in there, so those are like a classic, of course. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. I was going through the children's books actually recently because I was just curious kind of what was in there, and especially with all like the book banning. I'm from Alberta, so I'm familiar with government book banning. So I wanted to kind of see what exactly was like in a lot of the children's books that are under such scrutiny there. So I was reading through those the other day, and they were, sweet and adorable and nice. So yeah.
There's also like, while I haven't personally checked them out, I've seen them on the shelf. There's a lot of sex education books that I normally don't see at other libraries, so it's always a great resource to check.
Yes, actually, that is very true. The sex education books in there are like plentiful, and like anything, any topic you could possibly think of wanting to be educated on, there is a book in out on campus, or if not in the Women's Center for that. Very, very helpful. Everything from like toys to like, yeah, like kink stuff, like whatever, anything you could think of, there's something for you to learn in there. So that's another thing.
Very catchy titles too. I remember one I picked up was like, How to Be an Ethical Slut.
Nice. Yeah, I've taken out a book from the Women's Center before, and it was like about porn work and stuff, and that's something that I feel like is quite taboo to talk about, and I was kind of like scared about it a little bit more, but then I read through it and it like, I feel like it is really important for people to be educated on actually like what goes on in that industry, but just an example. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's like a whole I think like porn studies like subsection in the library. There's also like zines in there as well, which are always like neat to look through, so.
Nice. What is the importance of having a queer space within an academic institution?
I mean, I can say this, I like as an undergrad, maybe this doesn't apply as much to me as we go higher into academia, but I'm assuming for like Quinn who's a grad student, like the more you go up, the less representation you see. And you know, as a like when I was a wee first year, being like out on campus, like oh, it's like a place that can be comfortable. It's so like university is so unfamiliar and so scary. There's like at least one space where you can be yourself and to make new friends and get all like the resources you may need. And I think that's what out on campus is about, just a safe space.
Yeah, I think especially I think in university, a lot of people are like moving away or gaining independence from home, which can be pretty stifling, if you are a queer or trans person, depending on what environment you're coming from. Again, I know from like me personally, coming from Alberta, I was really excited to move to BC and be able to like be more in touch with that community, that I couldn't be out there. And I found out on campus like pretty much right away, even though my first year was online in 2020. So like having the lounge there, like being able to like explore that stuff without fear of like my parents finding out, or just like needing to like disclose anything to like students around me and not know if it would be okay or whatever. I found that to be really, really important. Also, I found it a bit difficult to like start making friends. SFU is kind of notorious for not having the most social communities be really, really good. If you find the places and the number of times I've just struck up a conversation or jumped in on a conversation in the OOC lounge has made me so many friends. Like honestly, I think almost all of my friends were people I met in there rather than people I met in my classes. And then I ended up taking classes with some of those people at other points. So in terms of social stuff at university made a massive difference, and I knew that if I were jumping into a conversation with somebody in there that they would be accepting and safe for me to talk to and be myself around. So super super important for that, and also in terms of healthcare navigation and trying out gender affirming garments and all that kind of stuff, knowing where to ask, hearing other people's experiences, it's such an important resource for students to have.
Yeah, you briefly mentioned getting to access gender affirming garments. I know that you guys have a program based on that. Would you like to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I can definitely talk about that because I have used it in the past. So Out on Campus has, honestly, it's a really awesome program. I believe you can get as a student one gender affirming garment, like a new one of each kind of like type. So like Packers, binders, breast forms. I'm trying to think of other ones. Maybe you can add some if you can think
I have
of.
it pulled up right now if you want me to just read off them.
Okay. Yes, yeah, if you want to read off of it, because I can't recall the
Yeah.
details, but I can say from personal experience, just being able to try that stuff, not having to search it out, and not have to pay for it either, because a lot of these things can be really, really expensive, was so helpful, being able to try things on and all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
Yeah,
Artem, if you have
so
the details.
basically, this is what the spiel that we're given. So was it? You can choose between three options. So binders, packers, or items donated by other folks for trying on. Was it communities, gender supportive year? So those are the three categories of items. Each calendar year, you can get two each of those categories. So I guess that would be six total, if I'm reading this correctly. Yes. There's a limit of two item garments per category, so you can get like two binders, two bras per year. There you go. That's the thing. So there's like three options, but at the end of the day, you get at least two of each category per calendar.
That's so cool. Wow, I love that. So we touched on the library and then just now the gender affirming garments program, but I was wondering if there's other resources that you all provide for students that you'd like to highlight or talk about.
I mean, there's the we have a well the not the collective, but like out on campus, there is a Discord, so you can always make friends. If you have there's also well you'll have to be like answer one of those introduction questions to gain access to the rest of the server, but you can always make friends, ask questions. Usually the out on campus assistant will try to answer if no one else has. What else? There's also the fridge as one of the resources. Oh, and safer sex and menstrual supplies. So if you just walk into like out on campus, right behind the door, there will be condoms and also menstrual products.
Yeah, I think those are the main resources I would highlight. The Discord can be really helpful. There is a peer support channel on there. So I know sometimes people are asking for housing, help, navigating healthcare stuff again, which doctors at SFU even are the best? How long did you wait for your hormone readiness assessment? All that kind of stuff. You can talk to other people who have gone through it on there. Yeah, those are the main things. The safer sex and menstrual supplies are awesome. Sometimes you see someone who walks in and they're looking a little I don't know, a little awkward, kind of looking around, and then usually someone will just point them. They're like, everything's right there behind the door. Take whatever you need. Take whatever you want. Yeah.
Also, before I forget, I was looking through the thing just to make sure I wasn't missing anything. And there's also out on campus has a resource rack. I think we briefly touched on that, but there's a lot of different like types of things. I think one of them, I see prep. There's also right now because Pride, some Pride events stuff. Personally, I think I saw something about cancer screening as well. So it's like a wide variety of resources in the resource rack, which is on the bookshelves. Very easy to spot once you get in the room.
Speaking of physical like resources, how can students find out on campus?
In terms of the lounge itself, is on the second floor of the Student Union building. There's like the big wall of microwaves, so you just have to walk like directly past that, and you probably won't miss the room because there's like rainbow flags all over the place and stuff, so pretty visible. It's right beside the Women's Center. That's how you find it in person. Just outside the door, there's like a wall of like posters and stuff. And I believe one of those posters on there has the QR code for the Discord and the website and all that kind of stuff. But anyone's always welcome to come in. Usually there's a staff member or a collective member or someone who just knows stuff in there to like help people out. I think that's the best way to usually find it. I believe you can also just search it up. And get like the form to like join the Discord and stuff like that.
And when all else fails, if you're like going through the elevator specifically, you just exit and then you see like a room right next to a clothing rack. And then it also has, if I remember, also one of those sandwich board signs. You'll find us. Speaking of which, we did, sorry for looping back, because we just remembered, yeah, the clothing rack. We have clothing swaps. I was like, yeah, what are we forgetting? The giant clothing rack that's outside out on campus. But yeah, so we do have like a clothing exchange program. I don't think you have to like take a garment, leave a garment type like that, but it's open to any students who need anything. There's also a drop-off box right in front of out on campus.
Yeah. The only other thing that I would mention is if any like people are ever interested in joining as a volunteer or the collective, like we're always taking new members and like getting people familiar and stuff. Our meetings are always open to everybody. So you can get in touch with like the staff member or the collective. Usually, again, there's somebody in the space hanging out who knows something about the collective. So you can get in touch that way. It's not like we're waiting for like a yearly election to take people on. We're always happy to like get people involved. So.
Well, how can people stay updated on like what kind of events are upcoming?
You can always follow us on Instagram. We do have like, there's out on campus, like SFSS out on campus or OZ some. And then there's the collective. Also, we have our own Instagram too, right? That's SFU. OOC Collective.
Yeah, but yeah, the best way is the Instagram is usually where always where events are posted. So both of the two, the actual like out on campus one and then the collective one. And then there's also usually like posters outside the room that show events. I think events are often included in like the SFSS newsletters. We try to get them in there and stuff as well. That's the best way. Or just going into the space and asking. And there's also a calendar actually in the space that shows.
Yeah. Oh, and if you're in the Discord, obviously, you'll know.
Thanks for tuning into that interview with Artem and Quinn from the Out on Campus Collective. And if you're ever on campus, you should totally check out the space. It is in the Student Union building in room 2230. And next up is an interview I did with Karn Sahota from Share Pride. So stay tuned for that right after these messages.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. Today, I am here with Karin from Share Pride, a charity for queer South Asians and their friends, families, and allies. Welcome, Karin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. If you could just give a little introduction to our listeners, that would be great.
Sure. So my name is Karin Singh Sahota. I am the manager of outreach and volunteers at Share Pride, formerly known as Share Vancouver. And my role encompasses quite a few different things, but essentially it's just to make sure that we are visibly seen in the community, as well as getting community members engaged and trying to push for more inclusion, whether that be in queer spaces or whether that be in South Asian spaces.
Nice. And for some context, what led to the foundation of Share Pride?
So Share Pride was founded back in 2008, and it was founded by social worker and director and filmmaker Amar Sangha, and it started in North Delta. So essentially Share started as just kind of a social, getting people together, building kind of a social circle. And from that, it just kept growing into a registered charity, a nonprofit organization. And so all these years later, in 2026, Share has various in-person programming. We have a podcast, which is at Three Seasons, film festival every year, a block party, a float in every Pride, Vancouver Pride parade as well, except for the COVID ones, obviously. And yeah, just quite a few different things that Share has really put on and been a part of over the years, but it essentially started as just a place for queer South Asians to find a safe space to be able to talk and to be able to share experiences, because there wasn't really anything like that south of the Fraser.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the foundation is needed more than ever now, especially with, you know, the increasing suppression of queer voices, rises in anti-immigrant sentiments. How has it been forming a queer community space in Surrey, where politics have shifted further to the right in recent years, along with the rest of Canada?
We've definitely seen an impact in terms of our programming and with community members that we see because of the recent changes. First of all, to just the immigration situation, and especially kind of the reduction of allowing students to stay here, has really changed a lot of perspectives and really made a lot of people scared, because many students come here for a better life, but also to live their lives authentically. And now they're essentially being told that, you know, you have to go back. And many of them, it's very hard once you've started living your life authentically to go back into the closet when you have to go back home. So that's something that we've definitely seen many community members struggle with. And another thing is kind of just the rise in South Asian hate, especially if you go on platforms like TikTok and Instagram and even Facebook. There seems to be this notion throughout the country or just the Western world that like discrimination or just kind of racism towards quote-unquote brown people is okay all of a sudden. And I don't know when we as a society made that collective decision, but definitely we've seen that. We've seen a lot of that discrimination, and it's also within queer spaces as well. It's not only mainstream heteronormative society. It's kind of everywhere, and I feel like there is definitely that racist element that still lingers in some queer spaces, and I feel that this recent anti-immigrant kind of like this xenophobic kind of rhetoric that we're seeing across the country really push and pull into the lives of queer South Asian folks. Whether or not you're born and raised here or you come here from somewhere else, everyone faces it the same way, just on the basis of your skin color. And one thing that I had recently experienced was that I was at a gas station, just kind of wearing like a little rainbow tie, and I had a just like a little rainbow tie and like a plain white dress shirt, dress pants, the whole bit, just filling gas on my car. And then someone kind of drove by and threw a coffee my way and screamed, go back home, you fag. That exactly those words. And I don't know how to respond because I was like, it was like a double